time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Along with the Olympian Darren Elliott, Darren Millard in Studio 31. Welcome to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Simulcast right now on all the team's digital channels. Golden Knights start the season 3-0, and we are in Studio 31. And if you're watching on the digital channels, you just saw one of the exclusive parts about this studio. The beautiful secondary logo, the light that hangs over our heads. Unless you've been in this room, you haven't seen that until right now.
Yeah, it's a... well-kept secret.
It's beautiful,
secret's
isn't out. It?
It is. It is.
Ron, can we get another look at that for the people that just to let them soak up?
You're producing from the chair already.
I am.
Already.
Yeah, look at that. That's pretty beautiful. Cool. I'll send out a picture of that thing so everybody knows exactly what we're talking about. The Golden Knights, perfect out of the gate to start this season, run the table at home. They win their first three games of campaign all at home for the second time ever. They've once before started 4-0 with their first four games at home. So they took advantage of everything. We'll dig into it and get into some of the minutia of the campaign that in the opening week. But what was your first impression of the Golden Knights' performance?
You had three home games, and I take it collectively. What a good start. You want to get off to a good start, you win your three home games. A little bit different each game, as you mentioned. But to me, you're trying to get off to a good start. That was the focus through camp, has been every time Bruce Cassidy comes out of camp. And so far, so good. That's what you wanted to do, was set that tone and go 3-0 at home, and mission accomplished.
Start with eight goals in the opener with a fireworks show.
That's fun for the fans, huh?
It was. it was really fun for the players, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that gets guys in the flow. And, we, you know, Jack Eichel, his line, in particular the first two games, dominant and doing what they can to ignite the offense. You don't want to be a one-line team, and this isn't. But it's better to be a one-line team than a no-line team. And Eichel got them off to the right start.
Jack Eichel, one of the three stars of the week in the National Hockey League, with his performance leading the National Hockey League in point production. That is a real boost, seeing what they were able to do. Ivan Barbashev was not talked about very much in camp because everything was focused on the other side with who was going to play with Jack Eichel and Ivan Barbashev. We all thought it was going to be Victor Olofsson, ends up being Mark Stone. But the way that that group came together, and the offense, which was a question mark coming into the season. Where were they going to replace goals?
Right.
It was answered in the first few minutes.
In that first game, certainly, take the three games total. You have 15 goals scored, I think?
Yes.
10 different goal scorers. That's how you replace it. You replace it with production from your blue line. You spread it out across all four lines. And as we said, Eichel and Barbashev and Stone were dominant for two or three games. You get better power play production. There's lots of ways to score goals when you have a roster. And Bruce Cassidy likes to roll four lines. He'll tinker, but he's not a meddler. He made one adjustment last night, and it seemed to work for both players, Olofsson, and Holtz. So those are the kinds of things that those are two new players, so they're still trying to find where they fit best. So that makes sense that those were the two guys that got kind of jockeyed around last night.
Let's look below the surface. Okay. Where do you think the Golden Knights got better over the three games, culminating with the 3-1 win over Anaheim?
Digging in defensively when it mattered, you know, when the game was on the line, when there's a crucial moment, when there was the big penalty kill they had late in the second game. They had some turnovers the first half of last night. Shut that down the second half of the game. So they've gotten better each and every game, and their identity is always about playing good defense. And they did the first game, you know, a little bit of a score effect, right, with the shots on goal. But when you take a
look. What do you mean by score effect?
Well, because it's kind of a run-and-gun game, lots of goals being scored. The other team then just goes, well, we're behind by two, we're behind by three. We have to just take more chances and take more shots. So that, but the other two games, 22, 24 shots, take that all season long.
Goaltending, both netminders pick up wins to start. Aiden Hill's 2-0 heading out on the road, and Ilya Samsonov picks up his victory in his initial appearance. The blue line, the emphasis to get more shots or offense from the blue line has led to more shots from the back end.
It has. Shot mentality, guys in the front. But you've also seen the guys that can join the rush, right, at the right time. Petrangelo was in on the forecheck last night. You know,
the goal line.
I agree with that, though. Once you've committed, right, don't bail out and let them have full possession. So stay in the mix, and it led to a goal eventually. So there's the jumping up when you can off of the blue line, and there's joining the rush as well. And with Hanifin and Theodore and Petrangelo, they have three candidates that can join it very effectively.
What have you thought about Nick Hague and his first couple of games back over on that right side, and Shea Theodore playing his natural strong side? That's where I've noticed
more than Nick, right? Nick still looks like I'm the defensive guy on this pairing. And
with no Hanifin, yeah.
Right. So, you know, he's backs out first. He's not looking to push it off the blue line or get up in the rush quite yet. But Theodore last night, there was a play defensively. So he's playing his left side as a left-handed shot. And it's a one-on-one. The guy tries to beat him wide. You turn to the inside, kind of away from the guy, go back to the post. But when you turn this way, now your stick is there first. If you're on the other side, your stick's on the inside. So it's a different thing when the guy's trying to beat you wide. It just was like more natural, and it killed the play.
You brought up special teams with the penalty killing side and the ability to lock down the victory over the St. Louis Blues on Friday night. The power play in all three instances, Colorado, Blues, and the Anaheim Ducks, just looked more dangerous, more comfortable. Why?
I think Bruce, of course, said it best when he talked about not forcing plays that aren't there, but when the right option, the correct option, presents itself, take it. Instead of maybe, okay, I'm on the goal line. We saw Stone last night. It didn't work, but he stepped off. They gave him room. He steps off the goal line and tries to jam it at the net instead of holding it, passing it back, going around. So I think that urgency when there's an opportunity that they've identified, you know, three or four of these are our options. When this shows itself, attack.
Are they better in the bumper position right now?
I don't know that Hurdles looked all that comfortable. He scored as he was moving towards the net. That's more his style. Or coming off the goal line. He hasn't looked between the hash marks exactly comfortable to me quite yet.
I'm trying to figure out if that's where they're gaining more options, because teams are paying attention to that area. And it's
maybe. I thought Carlson was good there last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another thing we haven't even talked about, right? All of this winning and slight jockeying of lines has been with William Carlson unavailable so far.
Mark Stone looks comfortable with Jack Eichel. Jack Eichel is off to a fantastic start this season. And then you have other players that are finding their way, the new guys. And you've got Alexander Holtz and Victor Olofsson, right, and Cole Schwint, and we had five players make their VGK debut this week.
Yeah, so there's a little, you know, that's quite a bit of integration. Every team goes through that. The thing is, it's down in the lineup. I mean, Dorofeev scored last night. So everybody that needed to get going, Hurdle got his first. Other than Holtz, who scored but was waved off and had a couple good chances the second half of the game when the switch was made between Olofsson and Holtz, what line they were playing on. So there's still some people finding their way in the season. We're only three games in. And we're going to take a look at, for those watching and streaming, is it?
That was a goal that was waved off on the power play, Victor Holtz tapping it in.
It was too high, I think.
You thought it was a high stick?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Well, especially the angle of the stick. It's coming down, so it's even more difficult to determine whether it's below the crossbar or not.
Correct.
So just the pure angle of it is going to work against you in getting that call.
Tough one for him. He you know, had the interview with Ashley Bice, and he goes, of course it was a goal. Mm-hmm. Of course he's going to say that. But then he tagged it. It was funny. He goes, bad call.
We've got Tim Speltz coming up, the general manager of the Henderson Silver Knights. They open the season this weekend with a split against the Texas Stars. But coming up next, we're going to get into some league-wide news and how it integrates in with the Vegas Golden Knights' start and who has really separated themselves and made a statement off the opening week of the National Hockey League season. Now, mark your calendars, everybody, because the team's annual charity gala is back and better than ever. If you're ready for a night of glamour, fun, and an opportunity to support your local community, then this is an event for you. A Golden Night Gala will be held at Fontainebleau for the first time ever. Attendees will experience live entertainment as well as appearances by VGK players, coaches, and front office staff. Tickets are on sale now starting at $500, so don't miss out on a dazzling night. It's incredible. Every year, it's a one-of-a-kind experience you'll get that season, more experience than ever in and around the players, and just an unbelievable night of fun and exuberance. More fun information, if you want that, head over to the VGK website. We will see you there at the VGK Gala coming up in November. We'll be back with more on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Got some afternoon hockey coming your way this week, so it's a great time to check out Nighttime Plus. Watch your Vegas Golden Knights all season long with the Nighttime Plus app. Download it today on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, or TV to watch the Golden Knights live. Nighttime Plus delivers all locally televised games on Scripps Sports, as well as bonus content created throughout the season. So download and subscribe now to tune in all season long. What it allows you to do is sit at your desk during the afternoon and watch the Golden Knights as they play, and your boss doesn't know anything about it. He just thinks that you're being very, very passionate about your job.
All the secrets. First, it's the overhang here, and now it's that.
Nighttime Plus. It's up and running. It's going great, and we're looking forward to it. The Golden Knights have put a 3-0 record on the line tomorrow against the Washington Capitals. They are one of five teams that begin week two with a 3-0 record.
I got to ask you, all five teams are from the Western Conference. Does that say anything?
Yeah, that's interesting. I never really thought of it that way or even realized that that was the case. But you've got Vegas, Dallas, Calgary, Winnipeg, and Utah Hockey Club are all 3-0 to start the second week.
And on the other side, you have winless teams. You know, Colorado didn't, you know, they're 0-2, and Edmonton, three home games. Talk about taking advantage. They had the same opportunity as Vegas, three home games, lost all three.
So sunny side up, Vegas is 3-0. What kind of statement do you think that was last week to those in and around the National Hockey League who were questioning what Vegas would be this season? And we don't know what they will be this season. We've only witnessed the first week.
Well, I think anybody who does the prognostication at the start of the season, more if you're not in the market all the time, and even here, there's still some unknowns. So if you, the further removed you are and you're trying to predict what the Vegas Golden Knights are going to be, they're going to look at, there are more unknowns than there were the season before when you only lost one player from the team that won the Stanley Cup in Riley Smith. So you're going to say, oh, there's, therefore that equals drop-off. Well, not necessarily. That's the whole point. If you're, again, from distance, you look at it, then the reality is this is exactly what management envisioned in terms of how you build your team and how you replace what is perceived as lost offense.
Dallas, Calgary, Winnipeg, and Utah are the other 3-0 teams. How many of those are considered, would you think, this is not a surprise? And who is just a pure pretender off to a good start?
What, you want to jump out and say Utah, but that team's been building for a while.
They had a good start last year.
Yeah.
In Arizona.
Right. But to me, I think Utah can be there playing meaningful games to try to get into a playoff spot. Winnipeg, we know, they don't give up many goals. Hellebuck, you know, star of the week. Again, mm-hmm. Here we go. They've got the scores. They win, you know, in overtime. So, you know, to me, everybody on there, certainly Dallas and certainly Vegas, everybody.
That leaves Calgary.
I'm surprised by Calgary. But, again, no, I don't know what. I mean, I do know that if you want to talk about the AHL and the connection to the NHL, you know, Connor Zary got his audition last year. He's playing well right off the bat. Dustin Wolf and goal. You can't do any more in the American Hockey League and not get your chance. He's getting his chance full time now. So those kinds of pieces, you don't know what they're going to do at this level. So far, so good, obviously.
The Winnipeg Jets pulled out a victory yesterday. They scored their only goal of regulation at the end of a period.
Oh, yeah.
There was less than 3 seconds to go with a faceoff to the left of the goaltender, and they pulled the goaltender, Connor Hellebuck, their netminder, for an extra attacker. It's been done a lot over the years. It never works. And coaches are almost, like, 3 seconds is right on the line of if you lose it and the team shoots it down, it might go in.
It is right on that.
But somehow Winnipeg allowed it to
a clean to win, get too. In. It wasn't like the centerman shot the puck off, you know, right yeah. off the drop. Which is even rarer. Happened to me once. I can't believe it. But anyway.
You weren't ready for it, were you? Like, who does that, right?
I was there. Who shoots off the draw?
Exactly.
But Scheifele got it away quickly and found the back of the net. So they score there, and then, they, you know, Kyle Connor again.
So it breaks early season. Winnipeg gets that.
Yep.
Edmonton is 0-3 next to a Calgary team that's unbeaten in three starts. And Edmonton had two goals in the same game called back last night. One offside, one for goalie interference. So it's that
right.
fine of a margin of error that can turn winless into we're finding it
yeah.
from unbeaten to we're off to a good start in Calgary.
Well, I'm sure they're excited. It's a good first week. Don't forget, it's yeah. just 1 week. For all of us, right? It's like, so it's 1 week in Calgary, nobody knew. Okay, that's a really nice, pleasant start for them. The Oilers, very unpleasant. I mean, in that market, on home ice, after going to the final, but
just creates
they're not talking
a
about,
headache where it doesn't need to be
right,
a headache.
Because,
right, because they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be fine, but it's anxiousness it, where you could take some heat off you if things go right.
Right, and instead of talking about going to the final, it calls back their awful start last year. It calls that kind of conversation
the awful
back
start the year before.
So all of a sudden you're flapping in that market about things that were negative when really they were the Stanley Cup finalists.
Now, there's seven teams without a win. How long is the wire tripping where you get a little bit uneasy?
Well,
is it,
like I said,
three games? Is it 5 games? Is it 2 weeks? Is it a week?
It's kind of market dependent, right? Buffalo lost their first three. Mm-hmm. And because they haven't made the playoffs in so many years, 12, 13 years, three losses to start the season is like, oh, my gosh, here we go again. Whereas Edmonton, despite the, you know, what you get that outcry right now, overall, it's not as dependent that you haven't won yet. To me, again, like I said, I think it's market dependent what your team is really proven. Do you have a track record? I think like New Jersey, you know, they had all those points a couple years ago, missed the playoffs last year because of largely due to injury. Them getting off to a good start is a good thing for them. It's like, oh, yeah, it harkens back to that's the team that we built. That's the team that's on the ice right now.
Got some games that are on the ice at this point. Thanksgiving in Canada, so happy Thanksgiving to all of our Canadian friends and family, and Columbus Day in the United States. So we've got Boston trailing the Florida Panthers 4-3 in a spirited playoff rematch. They know each other very well. Been a couple of scuffles in that game. And Ottawa trails the LA Kings 6-5.
And New Jersey's up over the Utah Hockey Club 3-0.
So Utah in danger of suffering their first loss. Did you like afternoon games?
I did because as a perennial backup, I usually got those games.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm just asking because we've got this 6-5 game between L.A. and Ottawa. L.A.
That
couldn't get
maybe
much
both
going.
Backups are playing.
They couldn't get much going the other night, and we're kind of lulled into a sleepy state against the Boston Bruins. And then today they come out and they score a half dozen
on 19 shots.
On 19 shots. Well, that's what the very Vegas against Colorado.
That's right.
Vegas, their shooting percentage against the Avalanche was pushing 40%.
Good for lacrosse.
So that's interesting. I didn't see who was starting in goal for the Ottawa Senators, but it's probably not the same person that's playing now.
Based on that. A four-goalie game.
the pull on each side. But Linus Ullmark has been very good for the Ottawa Senators so far. Take a look at that and see who got the early yank in that one. And it might be on both sides of the bench there. Anton Forsberg and Mads Søgaard. So they both played there. There's no Ullmark at all. Didn't know he was banged up. Is he?
I don't know what happened in his last game. No.
No. And Darcy Kuemper playing for the LA Kings. Anton Forsberg and Mads Søgaard. So both goaltenders getting involved in there, as you would expect.
Yeah, you would with the 19 shots and the 6 goals against. Senators, by my count, 31 shots on goal is what the most recent update had for me. So they're getting their looks at the LA Kings net, so that's probably why it's still in goal.
I want to tell everybody that Cam Talbot has joined our good friend Sean Burke with some history.
Great nugget.
Cam Talbot, Detroit Red Wing goaltender this year, made a perfect performance the other night, and he and Sean Burke are the only two goaltenders in NHL history to record a shutout with 7 organizations.
That's always the good news, right? It's like
7 shutouts is a good career.
Right. 6 organizations let me go, but the 7th one, mm-hmm. That's all you need. So, yeah, well, that's quite a feat. That's quite a number. I couldn't tell you. I didn't know that Burke played for 7 different teams.
Sneaky, right?
Right.
When you go through it,
Jersey for sure.
Okay,
Arizona. That's
New Jersey, Arizona.
That's all I got.
No, you've got more than that.
No, I don't.
Come on,
you come on.
Hartford. Okay. Remember the famous pads?
I do.
Tampa.
I'm losing track of his career.
We'll update you on the Sean Burke travels as we continue throughout nighttime at noon. Also want to give you an idea, a heads up that Tim Speltz is going to join us in a little bit. They've got some great giveaways coming up this weekend with the launch of their home opener at Lee's Family Forum on Friday and Saturday, hosting the Calgary Wranglers for those two games. And you've got the Town Crier Trumpet.
That's yours.
The giveaway on
Friday. Over that. That's yours to keep.
Friday. And then we have the popcorn bowl.
Your fingers now all over that. That's yours to keep.
So here's the thing. First 3,000 fans will get this
very
souvenir
cool giveaways.
Trumpet
yeah.
on Friday. The first 3,000 fans receive a popcorn bucket on Saturday. And if you're one of the first 1,000 people in the building, you also get popcorn in it. Like a certificate for popcorn.
We're both fans.
Yeah.
Popcorn fans.
So this is the trumpet, and you know what you're looking at here? It's noisy.
Yep.
Now, I think it's going to be an awesome.
Be weaponized?
It's going to be a wonderful night on Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to do the game with Brian McCormick on television.
And you'll have a headset on. So that's the thing, because 3,000 of these things in the building, it's going to be loud.
Let's see how loud.
Ready?
There you go. High school band served you well.
Yeah, I kind of struggled with that. I got to work on that. I'll give Spelty a pass on that. So even if you're not good at it, there's some noise coming out of it. So wear your some noise-canceling headphones. Check it out on Friday and Saturday at Lee's Family Forum. We've got some great stuff coming.
Update.
Yep.
32 shots on goal for Senators. 6-6.
6-6. How much time's left there?
All kinds of it. 14:35.
That's great. Do you think we get to 9? We're in the. Does the winning team score 9?
No,
because you get one more, and then there's an empty net scenario. There might be 2.
8-6.
I think we're getting 9.
8-6 comes to mind, but I also had Alexander Holt scoring 2 goals last night, so my prognostication, to use that word again, not that great.
Can't get enough hockey? Lee's Family Farm is the place for you, home of the Henderson Silver Knights. You'll be able to get even more hockey. Team kicking off their home opener with a pair of games, Calgary Wranglers, on Friday and Saturday. Make sure to head over to hendersonsilverknights.com to get your tickets today. The general manager, Tim Speltz, coming up on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas and all the VGK social media channels.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Golden Knights off to a perfect 3-0 start to kick off the National Hockey League campaign. Now embark on a 3-game road trip, which will begin in Washington tomorrow night and then follow up with stops against Tampa and Florida to end the week. The Henderson Silver Knights also launched their campaign on the weekend, splitting with the Texas Stars, falling 4-3 and winning 5-4. Here's the general manager, Tim Speltz, who joins Darren Millard and the Olympian, Darren Elliott, here in Studio 31. We read box scores. We were busy. I wasn't able to watch as much as I wanted to, so give me an idea how things went on the weekend.
Well, interesting games, both of them, and probably from our standpoint, we thought we should have won Friday. Played very well, and didn't score. Chased it, and that we got down a little bit. We were down 2-0 after the first, and then played really well right to the end. And then arguably we won on Saturday, and they might say the exact same thing, that they probably looked at that game and thought they should have won. They were chasing it and then really had a real good push in the third. And it was great for our guys to be able to, A, handle that pressure and be exposed to that pressure.
A couple of names jumping out. Kai Uchez picks up some points. Jonas Rombjerg scores. Tanner Lisinski hits the scoreboard. So all names that we were following through training camp.
Yeah, and it was really good to see, Carl Lindblad got his first, or Lindblad got his first win, which was really good for us, and the way he won was good. He had a lot of underseas, a little bit in the third period. In the Texas, they throw pucks at the net like crazy. They've got a lot of traffic, and then for him, coming from Europe, that was something that maybe he didn't have as much exposure to over there, so that was good. You mentioned Kai Uchez. He's big. He's strong. He played that way, and those young guys, you can just see them as they get opportunity. They are better and better. And then the older guys, Lisinski, led the way on Saturday. Ronnie was really good on Friday with their offensive numbers. That was good.
Characterize this team, going into the season, how excited you are about this group.
Well, excited in that it's early, but I like what the guys, especially at the VGK, at the NHL level, have done. I think they've all kind of shown their worth, whether it's Robert Haig, we've mentioned Tanner Lisinski, Cal Burke at some time. Mason Morelli was up, Schromberg was up. So those guys are down to, I think help our young guys to develop their game a little bit, and that's going to be a good thing. Our young guys, unfortunately, we've had a couple injuries, really affected us. Lucas Cormier is going to be out for an extended period, as is Ben Hammerling, and those are two young guys that we're really excited about for the future. That doesn't change, just it changes on the short term for us. But those are two guys that we look at and we think will be players. And then Schmidt has been really good in net for us, and I think that's going to solidify things back there and get our guys in place as far as that goes.
Do you have 4 goalies right now?
No, we've only got 3. Jesper Bechman is still with us. Jesper, I think when we look at it, he'll go to Tahoe to get that East Coast League experience that we thought was important last year that just wasn't able to happen. Nobody's fault, but that's, with injuries and stuff, there was a lot of call-ups and a lot of movement, and he didn't get to be where he needed to be for as long as he needed to be there.
Get to your roster, but also just pick up on that, on the Tahoe arrangement. The first time that you're going to have, we've got 3 teams in the state now.
Right. Like, correct.
That's unbelievable.
Yes.
In season 8 for the VGK, now with 3 professional teams in the state. How does that help you having the... just geographically closer affiliate?
Well, for us, I mean, a perfect example is on a weekend, if we're playing and we're healthy, we can easily get players to Tahoe. We can get them back from Tahoe, which wasn't as easy, you know, when you're talking about Savannah and different time zones. So that part is very simple. I think our roster, when we look at it, I don't know that we're going to compose it a whole bunch different. But if we know we're healthy and they're playing and we're not, we could move players easily that way. And call-ups are just so much more available.
Raphael Lavoie.
Mm-hmm.
He arrived.
Yes.
Did he practice today?
He did. He actually skated yesterday. We were traveling, but he skated yesterday at AFC and he practiced today.
A journey for him, put on waivers by Edmonton, claimed by Vegas, and went back and forth all week. He ends up part of the VGK organization and assigned to the Henderson Silver Knights. So what will he bring? Because obviously, by going back and forth, both organizations really wanted this player.
Well, you know, it's so interesting with that. Like, for us, you know, we look at, I can't speak for Edmonton. I don't know what their motivation was either way. But for us, we know where he needs to start, and that's in the American League. But we believe there's a path there, and we believe there's a player there that can take the step and be an NHL player. I think for him, he looks at it's a new opportunity, a fresh start. You know, he's been there a long time, hasn't had a great look. You know, and you don't know why. I mean, maybe they haven't had the injuries, you know, so maybe there hasn't been the opportunity. You don't know. But, you know, I think our team, our organization's happy about having him. He's a big shot. I think there's some other things, obviously, that we expect he'll have to round out in his game, and then we'll do our best to help him with that and get him to the level he wants to be at and we need him at.
And he's a big body who scored at Bakersfield last year, 28 goals, I believe, 50 points, almost a point-a-game guy. I don't know how well you know him. What does he have to work on to make that next step?
Well, again, the greatest thing about our organization is we look at what a player does, like what his strengths are.
Right.
And you mentioned it. He's got a great shot. He's good on the power play. He can contribute offensively. But I think we all know to play winning hockey, to play VGK hockey, you've got to you know, round out your game. You've got to be good in all three zones. We don't know, quite frankly, where he is yet. You know, with that.
That's true.
Until we see him and until he. Until he plays. So, you know, we're excited what he does have, and you know, we're comfortable that we can work on the things that he probably needs to do to get there on a regular basis and be an NHL player.
I don't know the player, but I've heard that he can get under your skin a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's big, he's strong. You know, I don't know if I'd maybe classify him as an agitator, but he's a guy that he doesn't, you know, he can frustrate because he scores, and he's big enough, he's involved enough, so that's something. I didn't look at him that way. I looked at the fact that he always hurt us on the scoreboard.
Yeah, he was really good against Henderson,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Ryan Craig, second full year as a head coach. The development and the experience that he gained from year one, how have you seen that influence the training camp this year and the early start of the season?
Well, I think it's safe to say, and everybody that knows Craiger, I mean, he's a very, you know, prepared guy. He works hard. He's very committed. But I think he's also a guy that's very open and wants to learn. And I think he did learn a lot from last year. I think our training camp this year was better, as expected it would be after a year under his belt. You know, it was obvious to me in our year-end meeting, the things that he wanted to do different, he wanted to handle them different. You know, he's been a player that I think for a long time, and when I went through with the interview, you know, before we hired him, I mean, it's obvious for about 25 years he's been preparing himself to be a head coach. And whether he's preparing himself or just that's the way he thinks, you know, that's the way he is. He's had great experience, you know, working with the three coaches with the Vegas that he worked with. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's won a Calder Cup. You know, those are things I think that you look at that are invaluable for a coach. But at our level, he's also played, you know, all three of those you know, positions in that he was, you know, a prospect when he first got there that had to round out his game. Then he was a call-up player. And then at the end of his career, he was an AHL player. And that's what he was. And he was there to, you know, to help the young guys and mentor the young guys. So he's seen every step of the way. And that's all the players we have. So that's very good. And great person, cares about the players, communicates well.
You're right. There are those players where the second year of their junior careers where you say, that person's going to be a coach. he was that guy when he was in Brandon.
Well, it's interesting when you talk to Bobby Lowe's about it. He said that as a 15-year-old, they called him up. to practice with them, and then they ended up playing him. He said the second practice they had, he's the guy at the front of the line and kind of directing some of the guys that where they needed to
be. Been there all year.
So yeah, so he just has that. Mm. Like he does. He always has. And credit to him.
Tim Speltz with us, the general manager of the Henderson Silver Knights, play their home opener this Friday and Saturday against Calgary.
Calgary, they were a good team, good last season. What do they look like coming in?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, they split their weekend games. You know, I think it's safe to say at this time of year, every team is different.
Right. Well, a lot of their guys have gone up and are filling NHL roles now.
Yeah, and you've got one of them here, Cole Schwint, is with VGK. The big thing that we found last year and the thing that they relied on huge was Dustin Wolf.
And about
Dustin
3 years.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, and last year there was a lot of games where we felt we were better. We felt we outplayed him. We didn't win. And I think he could do that on any given night. He's taken a step, and that's going to be a huge adjustment for that organization and that team to feel that somebody that was that good, you know, as he was at the American League level, and he's going to get the opportunity in the NHL, and now they're going to have to adjust from that. But, you know, I think when you look at it, they've been a team that they have some good prospects because of where they drafted and their number of drafts. I mean, that's just the way the business works. So we're looking forward to seeing them. Don't know a whole bunch about them. Breaking down tape now and watching their games on the weekend.
Your team had trouble scoring at times last year because you were backfilling so much injury time, and there was difficulty with continuity. It looks like the offense is going to be much more productive this time around.
Well, I think when you look at some of the players, even Jacob Bobranich. He's a guy that, you know, contributed a little bit last year, but now he knows what the league's about.
He's had a great fall, right?
Really good. I mean, in every regard. He's been good every step of the way here, and even with us, he's been good now through camp. And it's a lot for these guys, you know. I mean, basically they were here the middle of September, and now it's the middle of October, and they've done nothing but camp. They're excited about playing some games. He's a guy that we hope, and now we can get him in the spot that he should be in. Right now he's our third-line center. I think there's potential for a lot more this year, but that's a good spot for him right now. And, you know, for me, I think we're going to get good contributions out of everybody, and then we've got a healthy Gage Quinney. We've talked about Lazinski a little bit, Cal Burke, and Jonas Rønneberg. I think we've got some veteran guys that are going to be able to keep us from chasing the game, which was, you know, it's something that's very tough to do, especially at the American League level.
You've been around the game for a while. We're giving away these trumpets to the first 3,000 fans on Friday at Lee's Family Forum.
Earplugs.
I'm your generation. That's exactly
just
what
say,
I thought.
Yeah. What's the veteran move on Friday night?
Earplugs.
Because 3,000 kids running around with this thing. And then you've got the adults like me that will give it a shot just because. It's going to be loud in there on Friday.
It's going to be loud. The atmosphere will be great. It's going to be loud. Exactly.
You guys have tweaked some stuff, added some things to the game presentation. Looking forward to that.
Our game day operation do a fantastic job. Obviously, we ride the coattails a little bit of VGK, but totally different. Mm-hmm. We've got a different staff, they do a wonderful job. They work hard. They're committed. They're trying new things all the time. They're exciting guys.
Get the popcorn bucket on Saturday. So you don't need the earplugs there.
No, maybe you put your earplugs in your popcorn. Yeah.
but then you got the town crier trumpet. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It's going to be so good, the atmosphere and with the kids and prospects coming through. And I thought the NHL training camp really showed a lot of the players and the promise that is available with the Henderson Silver Knights.
Yeah, and I think as much as we didn't have the success last year that we had hoped to have, it was still successful in that the players, we did a good job with the development, that the players that called up did a good job. They had their head above water. They were able to keep, you know, Vegas in their standing. So that's important. But, you know, now, I mean, when we talk about it, we've got great facility there at Lee's Family Forum. I mean, it's fantastic for American League hockey. It's great for our players, and we're really excited to get going.
Love spending time with you, man. From the rookie tournament right on through to this and Friday night's home opener, I can't wish you more luck than I would like to.
I appreciate it very much. Thanks.
There's Tim Speltz, the general manager of the Henderson Silver Knights. His head coach, Ryan Craig, positioning the team after a split against Texas on the weekend for a double dip against the Calgary Wranglers on Friday and Saturday. Giveaways the trumpet on Friday and the popcorn bowl on Saturday. We'll be back with more Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas and the VGK social media channels.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks to Tim Speltz for joining us in Studio 31 on Nighttime at Noon. Looking forward to that on Friday and Saturday at the Lee's Family Forum as the Henderson Silver Knights open up their campaign against the Calgary Wranglers. And again, the trumpets available to the first 3,000 fans. It's going to be fun. And there's always that lull during a game, and all of a sudden these things will start coming out of nowhere. This
2,999?
This
come out of inventory?
These trumpets, these horns, would remind me of football back in the day. The football fans used to take them to games. There we go, for the camera.
What, Hamilton Tiger Cats, Saskatchewan Roughriders?
Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
There you go. Getting better.
Yeah.
There you go.
A little solid. Okay, Sean Burke update.
The career, New Jersey.
Oh, you're reading off the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you were supposed to, like, rack your brain a little bit on this.
This
is an absolute violation. Put your phone down. Put your phone down. I want you to give me your if you can do it. New Jersey?
New Jersey and Hartford.
Okay.
And then he ended up playing for, like, three teams, Carolina, L.A., and Philly, all in 1.5 years.
Okay.
Then he landed in Arizona, which I remember. And then he spent some time with the Kings, which I didn't remember.
That's a sneaky one. That gets people.
That's all I can remember.
Really?
That's even from my phone.
All right. Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, the Canucks. That's right.
Vancouver, there was a brief stop over, which gets a lot of people. And the other one is Florida.
Right. Didn't remember.
Florida. Use that right leg.
Well, I remember reading it. I don't remember him playing.
Played 59 games one season with Florida, 7 the next year. But that was when he was went through a couple of different teams. Played 16 games with Vancouver. Carolina and Hartford count as one organization.
Oh, okay.
The same one. But Sean had, over the course of his career, shutouts with 7 different organizations.
What a career. Throw in Team Canada as well.
He had a shutout with every team he played for.
Wow.
That's why. Yeah, and he left the New Jersey Devils and played in another 2-time Olympian.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was an Olympian in
88.
So you were an Olympian in 84. Mm-hmm. And then Sean Burke took over from you.
88. Or from Mario Gosselin, actually.
From you.
Yeah, there you go. And then he played for the Devils. They changed the rules. He was allowed to play again. Right, pros could play.
Yeah,
he played in '92.
He did,
and
then went on to Hartford and Vancouver, Philadelphia. He played for Philadelphia in 2 different stops.
Yeah,
Phoenix for a long time.
Right,
and you know, in 2002, played 60 games. He was a strong candidate for Canada's Olympic team. He could have played in 3 different Olympics.
That would have been cool. Was that for which? For 02?
For 02 in Salt Lake City. And that's never happened before.
No.
That I know of. I'm just making stuff up. But I don't think it's happened before. There's no fact check there. I admit it if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. Does that work?
Yeah.
Then Tampa Bay and finished with Los Angeles with 22 games.
So what a career.
That's 820 games in the National Hockey League as a goalie.
Right. So that means that's how many he played. How many did he actually watch as well? It's a lot of hockey.
Well, I think
he always played a lot.
Yeah. 38 shutouts. So not a lot of shutouts based.
Well, different era.
Different era, but had a shutout with every team.
Right.
Which is impressive. And he got the one shutout.
38 shutouts, not a lot, he says.
Well,
37 more than me.
He got the one shutout with the Los Angeles Kings in that last year.
There you go.
To make it
The 7-for-7.
Yeah. We're on the air tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 for the Vegas Golden Knights against the Washington Capitals. Early start there. That'll be fun. We'll be able to talk about Alexander Ovechkin. That's always great as he chases Wayne Gretzky for the all-time goal total with the Vegas Golden Knights or with the National Hockey League?
Record would be touched?
No. No. So here's a question. Is he the greatest goal scorer in NHL history? Because Gretzky's technically not considered a goal scorer.
Right.
I know he has the record for most goals.
Right.
But he was thought of by...
Way more by as a playmaker.
Playmaker, yeah.
Well, he has more assists than the next person that has points.
Right.
I mean, that's
so
mind-boggling.
Is Ovi the purest goal scorer?
I think even Gretzky would say yes. Mm-hmm. People also mention Mike Bossy just because of the 8 straight 50-goal years. He just had a shorter run of it, but while he was an NHL player, he was kind of the standard.
Mm-hmm. Update us on Ottawa.
It's 7-7, and there's 40 seconds remaining before they go to overtime. Don't want to jinx it, but 7-7. Wow.
So that's who's Ottawa playing there?
The Kings.
Kings. Ottawa and the Kings, 7-7. Boston and their game against the Florida Panthers.
Panthers win.
Okay. And the Utah Hockey Club.
Bubble burst. They lose first loss, 3-0.
So we're writing them off.
No.
3-0.
I just meant the bubble being the zero in the last column. That's burst. Now it's 3-1.
They're done. We're writing them off.
New Jersey's backing up all the claims that they're having a good start, that they're going to be the team from 2 years
ago. Way better goaltending, right?
Yeah, that's all they needed last year probably.
Yeah. Just more consistent goaltending. Looking forward to what's going to happen there with their progress. And congratulations to the teams that are undefeated so far. But the ranks have dropped by one. There's 4 left, and the Vegas Golden Knights are part of that coming up. What time are we off? 1 minute? Okay. Thank you, Lexi and Justin and Ron here in the studio, keeping us in the straight and narrow. We've got the VGK Insider Show coming up at 4 o'clock. It's Monday, so that means Kelly McCrimmon will join us for his weekly visit.
Miss Chapman will be sick today.
Chapman is very... he's nervous around Kelly.
He should be. He
gets a little bit anxious when it's time to phone Kelly and connect Kelly onto the show. So those are my favorite shows. So watching Chapman start to leak a little bit off the brow. Not that I like I'm suffering, but
no, I know, I get it.
It's kind of fun. So Kelly McCrimmon will be on the show today, among other hockey talk that we'll have on the VGK Insider Show. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Tim Speltz for stopping by, and our entire crew. Thanks to Darren Elliott too. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow on Scripps Sports.